It's almost 2024. We almost made it. I know that there are those who are here today and those who are not here today who wondered if we would even make it through, if you would even make it through 2023. 364 days ago, almost a year, here in church, we turned the calendar page and we stepped into the year 2023. And as I preached that morning, I spoke of non-favorable things that may occur in your life. And I ask you to ponder how you could weather the storms of 2023 so that your life could be different. Now, 364 days later, as we prepare to enter a new year, I'm curious, how did 2023 pan out for you? You don't have to tell me, just a question to ponder. You're here, you made it. Did you have some setbacks and struggles? Yes. Adversity and storms? Yes. If you didn't, we may want to check your pulse and make sure you're still breathing this morning, because I told you a year ago, you will have storms. If you weren't here a year ago, that's wonderful. You had storms too. And this message is for you as well as those who were here a year ago. If you were here a year ago and you don't remember what we spoke of, that's not abnormal. That happens to me a lot. Give me 5 days and I forgot what I preached last. But as I worked through different ideas from November on of what I was going to say this morning, my thoughts kept bringing me back to last year, this point last year, and some of the things that we spoke about. It's a message that should resonate with every person, and so I want to take us back to that familiar passage that we read last year in Mark, where Jesus calms the storm. Before we do, though, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we love to tell the story of what you've done for us. And Lord, many times in our lives when we're going through our storms, we don't love to tell those stories. Sure makes a difference when we've gone through the storm and we come out on the other side and we know that you are God. That's when we love to tell the stories. Help us this morning to be reminded, Lord, that you are ever present in the storm and after the storm. And may we be careful to give you all the honor and glory and praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 4. Verses 35 to 41 is where we're at this morning. It reads like this. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let's take a closer look again this year. Some perspectives will be the same and some will be a little different. to this miraculous work of Jesus here in the book of Mark. It was a long day for Jesus and his disciples. Long day of ministry. And Jesus, being fully God but fully human, in all of his full humanity, he was weary, he was tired, he was empty. And he needed freedom from the crowd and peace for his soul. I've been there. He and his disciples got into a fishing boat and headed out to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, during a drought on the Sea of Galilee in 1986, archaeologists in Israel discovered the remains of a sunken fishing vessel. You'll see it on the screen. They found it in the Sea of Galilee, and they dated it back to the first century. Now, although there isn't anything to tie this particular boat to Jesus himself, the archaeologists gave it the name Jesus' Boat. In all probability, this would have been the kind of vessel that the fishermen of the day would have likely used, and the kind that Jesus and his disciples would have gotten into that day as they began sailing across the Sea of Galilee. Now, roughly, if I were to bring that boat in here, it would pretty much cover this stage. From bow to stern, it would be about the length of the stage and equally about as wide as the stage. Not a huge boat, but not a real small boat either. The weight of a boat this size, adding into it the weight of a couple of fishermen and their fish, shouldn't have put too much strain on the boat. But the more you put inside that boat, something's going to happen. When you start adding Jesus and all of his disciples in there, of course, the boat's going to be weighted down a little bit more, and it's going to push down into the water a bit more. When the boat is empty, it would have given quite a bit above the surface of the water, but you put more in there, and it pushes down to where the level of the water from the top of the boat may have only been about a foot or so. Safe enough to travel in ideal conditions, but more precarious in the middle of a storm. Now, the Sea of Galilee, where our story takes place, it's actually a freshwater lake. You can go to that next slide for me, please. Thank you. About 700 feet below sea level. You see it here on the screen. It's about 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. To get that in some kind of perspective, if you were to drop this Sea of Galilee into Wabash County, the length of it would be about from North Manchester. I knew this cave would come in handy for something else. From north to south, or the length of it would be about from North Manchester to Wabash. And the width of it would be about from Stockdale Mill out here, skip over Highway 15 and go to Highway 13, and that's about the size of the ski, or the Sea of Galilee, too. It's big enough. While I'm here, you'll also notice over here that it's hilly and mountainous around it, kind of barren. And they have these channels here where wind gusts from the Mediterranean Sea flow through. And sometimes when these flow through here, it makes the waters of the Sea of Galilee choppy and stormy. It could turn the calm waters into violent, choppy waves. Now, these waves, if that boat now was only about a foot above the sea level, the top of the boat, when these waves start, they could crest over the boat, creating a situation that is ripe for disaster. But Jesus is in that boat. It also creates a situation, an opportunity for a miracle. Did the disciples know a storm was coming? Well, at least four of the disciples were seasoned fishermen. Jesus had called Peter and Andrew and James and John to follow him and become fishers of men. These men had spent nearly every day sailing and fishing on the Sea of Galilee before they were called. They were fishermen. That's what they did. They were familiar with this lake, and they were familiar with its weather patterns. If they knew that a storm would be coming that would have threatened their lives and the boat that they were in, I believe at least one of them would have said something to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, you may not know this. This doesn't look good. Any of you who have ever been out on a road, you start out from your house and everything looks fine, and about halfway down your journey, wherever you're going, it starts to snow. And it gets a little worse as you go along, or it starts to rain. It doesn't take long for your situation to change just a little bit. Oh, everything's good and everything's fine when everything's nice. But when the storms come, it gets a little precarious, gets a little bit different. Did Jesus know that a storm was going to come that day? Absolutely he did. You see, in Romans chapter 11, verse 36, nothing escapes God. For from him and through him and for him are all things. God is at home with his nature, even when it goes wild. You see, Jesus was the one that created the lake. He created the water. He created the fish. He created the wind. He is the Lord of the wind and the sea and all of creation. And Jesus led the disciples into the boat that evening, knowing full well that a storm was coming. In the same way, God is leading us into 2024, knowing full well that we will experience storms this year on our journey. Now, to some, the storms may look like a giant in front of them. And to others, it may appear more as an inconvenience or a nuisance than a storm. But no matter how big the storm or how small the storm, they always seem to appear when we least expect them. And we couldn't have possibly planned for them. Often I hear people in the midst of the storm say things like, "Why is this happening to me?" I had that conversation with someone a couple months ago. "Why is this happening to me?" And my response was, "Why not? What makes you so special," in a nice kind of way, "what makes you so special that you shouldn't have to endure any storms? Why is your life so much greater than everybody else on the planet where they get to experience storms, but you are immune to them? What did I do to deserve this?" Sometimes nothing. Sometimes maybe we initiate our own storms. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes storms can come to us through disobedience, like the one that Jonah found himself in when he decided to run away from God. But storms, hear me now, I don't want you to go away from here feeling dejected. Sometimes storms can come to you through obedience to God as well. Just like the disciples when Jesus asked them to get in the boat. They were obedient to God, and a storm came nevertheless. If you notice from our passage, nowhere in our passage does Jesus ever promise the disciples that it was going to be an easy trip. And nor will it be for us. Jesus was with them in the calm, and Jesus was with them in the midst of the storm. And for you, there most definitely will be storms in 2024. But your storm will not be too big for Jesus. This past 12 months, we as a congregation have seen storms in public. And pretty much everybody here has had storms in private that nobody else knows about either. But you made it. You're here. We've seen the cruelty of cancer this year. There you are, Nancy. That's your storm. That's Jeff's storm. It's Katie Reese's storm. We've seen the loss of loved ones this year. Mary Jane and Michelle was here this morning. Mike lost a loved one this year. Adam Christensen and his family, and others. Hey, we've seen a heart attack this year, and you're still here. That was your storm this year. We've seen broken tractors. May not seem like a big thing when you compare it to a heart attack, but in the middle of harvest, a combine hits an electrical pole or something. I don't know what happened exactly. That's kind of a storm. This ankle surgery right here, that's part of my storm. And so on, and so on, and so on. But we're still here. And we're still here with breath in our lungs to praise the Lord. Think back over the course of this year. How did you react to storms in your life? Were you afraid? Did you worry? Did you ever, like the disciples, think that you were going to drown? If you did, that's normal. Because there are times in our life when something completely unexpected befalls us, and like the disciples, we realize that we are in big trouble. Something too big for us to handle on our own. And we begin to panic even. Even for those of us who are normally have a little bit more optimistic outlook on things. And he says to us in verse 40, Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid?" Now the contrast between the disciples' panic and Jesus' peace is evidence of the deity of Jesus, that Jesus is God and God was right there in the boat with him. It's a very stark contrast. And there's this man, this God-man, Jesus, the Son of God, sleeping in the back of the boat. He who is the Word by which all other things were made has no reason to fear a storm. So if we are in him, why are we so afraid? Why do we worry so much? Phrases such as "do not fear" and "don't be afraid" occur thousands of times, hundreds of times in the Bible. Much was said about it then. I'm not going to go through every scripture, and much is said about it now too. To give you a perspective from some different humans, and I think I quoted a couple of these last year, journalist Irma Brombeck said this about worry. Worry's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Entrepreneur E. Joseph Kosman said, "If you want to test your memory, try to recall what you were worrying about 1 year ago today. As you sat here in service 1 year ago today, what were you worrying about then? Probably it's not there anymore." Writer Dale Carnegie says this: "Remember, today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. And yet some of us still sit here worrying about tomorrow, but you're making it through today, the very today that you worried about last night." God gives us the promise in his word in 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your anxieties." Some versions have it, "Cast all your cares" or "cast all your worries upon him because he cares for you." You, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who created all the storms, give him your problems, give him your cares, give him your worries. He cares for you. Are storms comfortable? No, they are not. If I'm in a storm, am I uncertain about how it will pass? Yes, many times. Are storms scary? Some of them may be. But when dealing with a storm, no matter the magnitude, do I believe that things are going to be okay? Yes, absolutely, 100%. How is it that I can say that with such confidence? I've been through a lot of storms and I'm still here. I'm still standing. Think of any storm you've ever been through, big or small, anything that you've ever worried yourself sick about. Looking back, did God work things out for you? This audience participation now.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, he did. How many times? Every time. Every time. Are you still going through a storm right now? Some of you may be. Whatever's happened before, he's always done what he says he's going to do. I can confidently say that fear and worry did absolutely nothing to help you make it through your storms, to help you make it to the other side. You will be in storms this year, and it's going to be okay. Do not be afraid. Now, Jesus knew a storm was coming, and he got into that very boat and directed his disciples to get into the boat as well. Jesus never promised the disciples an easy trip, but he did promise them what? A guaranteed arrival at their destination. He said, in verse 35, let us go over to the other side. He doesn't tell his disciples, go to the other side and I'll meet you over there. He said, let us go over to the other side. Friend, as a believer and follower of Jesus, he has directed you to get into the boat. You've got to live life. You have to live life. You cannot just hide in a hole. Get into the boat. He is fully aware that a storm is coming. And just because Jesus is there, just because his presence is there, it doesn't prevent the difficult situation. He never promised that it would. His promise was, let us go to the other side. And when Jesus says, you're going to the other side, you are going to the other side. I don't want to go here, but I'm going to go here. We don't know what life we have left, any of us. We may go through a storm this year like cancer, and we may not make it to 2025. That's not the problem. Get in the boat and do what God asks you to do. I'm going to be delicate here. If he says you're going to the other side, you're going to make it to the other side. And the other side may not be here on this earth. The other side may be with Jesus. I don't want to point anybody out here, but basically kind of around the middle section here, we have some of our great people here, stoic people who have been around for a long time. And I know that Maury tells us every year, you may not see me in 2024. Well, he's one day and I'm still seeing him here. He may say, I'm not going to see you in 2025. That's okay, because he's going to go to the other side. We all have our storms. We all know people who are in a battle, who are in a storm. And they're not just fighting to save face. They're not just fighting to get a little extra money. They're fighting for their lives. I don't want to fall off the stage. There is life beyond where we are right now.
Amen.
There is a storm that you're going to go through between the life as you know it right now and the other side. Guaranteed. The life that you're after is not the life that you're here right now. You have to focus and point your vision to heaven and your eternity with Christ, because that's where the other side is. No matter how long it takes you to get in your boat across your storm of that 8 miles across the sea, it doesn't matter. You have to understand that the life in which we're living today, we are not made for this world. The world was made for man, but man was not made for this world. When you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about the storms. They will come. They are hard. They are difficult. That should only draw you closer and closer and closer and closer to the God who created all the storms, and the God who created you, and the God who lives in your heart. And there is another side that you should be looking at. You should be looking at the heavenly side. You have no business here. We're just walking this earth, and it's all going to pass away. Don't worry so much about your storms. Worry about getting to the other side. Whatever you accumulate here, whatever storm you're able to pass through on this side or in the middle of the sea, fails in comparison to the glory that's going to be revealed when you get to the other side. Your objective isn't to get out of the boat and swim. Your objective is not to get into the boat. Your objective is to get to the other side, and the other side is heaven. Stop playing games with God. This is not it. There's a heaven that's real, and it's on the other side. Jesus said, get in the boat. Get in the boat. Why are you waiting? Well, God, I've seen the storms come before, and I just don't know that I trust to make it to the other side. If you don't have enough trust in the God who created all this, and the God who created you, and the God who the Word of God spoke of in calming the storm, you're just wasting your time. You're living your life for life's sake, and it's going to get you nowhere. Your biological clock is going to count down. And you're going to be stuck here. Or you're going to drown in the middle of that ocean. And yet we still cry, Jesus, wake up. Don't you care that I'm going to drown? Quiet. Be still. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Fear wipes out faith. If the disciples wouldn't have been so worried about the fear of death, they might have remembered who it was that was in the boat. Faith is believing and trusting in what we cannot see. And there is an essence that we have about faith, in that it must be tested to be trusted. That's kind of how we're wired. That's kind of how we're taught. If I go down there to that chair, is it strong enough to hold me up? Yes, it is. Ever since I was a little boy, I've never been a little boy. Ever since I was a younger boy, every day, multiple times away for 54 years now, I have trusted that chairs would hold me up. And I only needed to trust that chair one time. I only needed to trust it once to have faith that it would do the job that it was there, that it was created to do. When I go to sit in a chair now, I don't even think about, is this chair going to hold me up? I already know that it will, because I've already proven it over and over and over. And here's the question. How many times do we feel like we have to test Jesus for me to trust in him? How many times do I need to go, hey, wake up. Don't you care that I'm going to drown before I will put my trust in him? Jesus rebuked the waves and commanded the waves to be quiet and to be still. And they were terrified, the Bible says in verse 41. And they asked each other, who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Wind and waves don't think. Winds and waves do not make decisions. Yet they obey the Lord at his word. The winds and the waves were far more obedient that day than were the disciples. The winds and the waves, those storms around us in our lives, are far more obedient than we are sometimes. Their problem, the disciples' problems, like ours, was not in the storm around them, but in the storm within us. In the unbelief within our hearts. Their unbelief was more dangerous than the storm. The disciples failed this test of faith because they did not take hold of Jesus' word that he was going to the other side. The disciples looked around and they saw danger, and looked within and they saw fear, but they failed to look up by faith and to see Jesus in the midst of the storm. Some of you are glad, so very glad, that 2023 is in the rearview mirror. And you're hoping for a much less turbulent 2024, I'm sure. And as I said before, there are some of you who are in a storm right now, and you need a miracle. I want to tell you three things this morning. Be quiet. Be still. Fear and worry do nothing to help you make it to the other side. Your good deeds will do nothing to help you make it to the other side. Your coming to church will do nothing to help you make it to the other side. Your faith in a holy God who created all this, whose life is in his hands, will help you make it to the other side. Fear and faith cannot live in the same heart. When Jesus says, quiet, be still, I know the Bible says the waves calmed and the wind stopped. In my own mind, I'm not putting words into God's book. I think when Jesus commanded the winds and the waves to be quiet and to be still, he was talking just as much to his disciples as he was to the wind and the waves. Hey, you be quiet. You be still. I'm here. I can get you to the other side. if Jesus wouldn't have interceded, they may not have made it to the other side. Four experienced fishermen, at the very minimum, knew what storms on the sea were like, and yet they'd never seen one like this before. They'd seen danger before, they'd seen storms before, they'd seen problems before, and they knew that that was not the place where they needed to be. I said on Thanksgiving, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't even made it this far. The only reason why you're still in the boat, if you choose to get into the boat, is because God's allowed you to make it this far. And if he says, get in the boat, we're going to the other side, you're going to make it to the other side. Psalms 46:10, we're given a command, be still and know that I am God. That's a command. The disciples knew where they needed to go to get help, and so should you. The psalmist says in chapter 34, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. God himself is with you in the boat, resting in perfect peace. And he wants you to be quiet, be still. It's going to be okay. I want to reiterate this point. Grow your faith. Not all of the storms in your life will end soon. I said that already. The Bible never guarantees that your cancer won't come back. The Bible never guarantees that you'll lose your business. The Bible never guarantees that your spouse or a child will die, won't die. Never guarantees that. As a believer, your confidence is not that these storms will end very soon, but that in the midst of the storms of your life, you will never be alone. You will never be alone. And if you've forgotten in the last month, go back and look at your stones. Look at your stacked stones and know, I've never been alone. God was there then and he's there now. You have to remember. Putting your faith in God doesn't mean having confidence that the storms won't come your way. Faith in God means having the confidence that no matter what waves and storms do come your way in 2024, the God of the universe will be right there with you. Get grounded in God's word. There are promises in here that he says as a command, do this and I will do this. Believe in this. It's my word. It's going to happen. And if he says you're going to go to the other side, you are going to the other side. Everything that he has ever said, he has done. In this world full of so much uncertainty, so much rubbish, God's word and his promises are the only things that you can be certain of 100% of the time. Finally, I want to encourage you this morning to keep sailing. Get in the boat. Get in the boat. Do you suppose that the fishermen who lived on the Sea of Galilee ceased to fish the day after this storm because of the possibility of another storm coming? No. They went out the next day and they kept fishing. Do you stop living because of the likelihood that an unexpected storm will happen in your life today? No, you keep on living. And there is an interesting phrase in verse 36 of our passage, and I think it's important for us to consider as we close. It says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were also other boats with him. Naturally, we tend to give our own personal storms and experiences greater priority and importance. Why? Because it affects us. We know our feelings and we know what the waves feel like as they come crashing over our boat. But think about this. When you are going through a storm, your storm, you may not realize that there are people out there watching you. As Christians, having love and compassion for others, we may sometimes encounter others who are going through a storm in their own boat. Same storm. Wasn't just for Jesus and his disciples. Storm in their own boat may seem similar to our experiences, past or present. In this passage, these other boats most likely were sailing to the other side as well. All of them left. They didn't know a storm was coming. And they were caught up in the same storm. When someone's going through a storm, we may not understand the desperation that they have in their storm. We may not understand the magnitude of what they're going through or what they're experiencing in their boat. Nor will they understand what we are experiencing in our boat. But in a world filled with despair, people are looking to anything and anyone to find hope. People may be inspired by the way in which you navigate your storm. Your story, God's story, his story, may be the lifeline that others need to find hope and to keep sailing themselves. And they would be grateful, unbeknownst to you, if you just keep sailing and don't give up. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 12, surely God is my salvation. You'll be able to sing that from your boat. I will trust and not be afraid. I've said enough. Just for a moment, while I pray. I want you to think about where you are. If you've decided to get into the boat with Jesus, and you're in the middle of a storm right now, you're not alone. God asked you to get in that boat because you decided to walk with Jesus. If Jesus invited you to get into a boat and say, hey, come on with me, we're going to go to the other side, but you haven't stepped into the boat, I'm safe right here. I don't really know you that well, and I think I'll stay right here. You may want to consider this morning, if that's you, where you are right now, and that there is another side. You may be comfortable with where you are right here, and this may be all that you know, but I'm telling you, I haven't been the other side, but I'm telling you, there's another side, and it's going to be worth so much more than what you're here. As I pray this morning, I just want you to think just a little bit. I'll ask the singers to come as well. And as I pray, I want you to think about where you're at. If you're here, you're not on the other side yet. If you're in the boat, you're in a storm, or you will have storms, and you need some help. You need some help believing that the Savior of the world, the Creator of it all, is there to help you. You've let fear and anxiousness and worry and doubt creep into your mind. It's time to stop. And if you're here and you've never stepped into the boat, now be a good time. As I pray, think about those things they're going to sing. And if you need to talk to God about something this morning, these altars are open. They're here for you. Come and get in the boat. God, when we weigh it all, when we put everything we've got and everything that we've known on the balance of the scale, things never seem to weigh out in our favor. Our problems weigh heavy. Our burdens are not light. When we're in the midst of it all, of everything that the storms of life can throw at us, we've failed sometimes to recognize the deity of the man who's sleeping in the boat with us. The same man who invited us years ago or days ago or months ago to step into the boat with him. And you've started on your journey. But you're at a crossroads. You just don't know. God, I pray for you to help us this morning to give you a nudge. Say, Lord, I need your help. I'm drowning here. Lord, to those here this morning who may have never gotten into a boat with you, the Savior of the world, because of fear, because of what somebody else said, don't go with him, that boat's not safe. And the only place safe is where you are, Lord. And if you're in the boat, I want to be in that boat with you. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who's never made that commitment to get into the boat. And I just pray, Lord, that this morning, your Holy Spirit would come down upon them and let them know that there's a better way. It takes an awful long time to walk all the way around this lake to the other side. And you may have some storms along the way if you cross the lake in this boat, but I can get you there. And when you get there, you're going to see things you've never imagined before. Be with us, Lord. Talk to us. Save us. Please stand. As we play this last song, if you need to talk to God this morning, no one's here to embarrass you. No one's here to chastise you. Just step into the boat.